Well, praise God. You know, for whatever reason, I always think that I should tell you why I'm preaching what I'm preaching or how I got the thing. I don't know why. I just kind of, in my own mind, I think maybe it kind of helps the ministers to figure out, well, how do you come up with a sermon? And I'll tell you where this came from. So we decided, because this summer, they have told me in Synergy they want to hear some more series. You know, they want to hear series. So we started a series on faith last Tuesday, and we'll continue this Tuesday. So we'll just teach on faith because I'm pretty good at that. You know, but every time I start teaching on faith, I start studying more, and I get it more and more. In fact, you know, I've actually heard faith messages my entire life. Myself, I've been preaching for almost 32 years, primarily on the subject of faith, and I'm just really almost this close to getting it. If some things that I said on Tuesday, and it's not that I said anything different, is I began to emphasize things, and then I was in Cincinnati, Ohio, and I'm really actually seeing things in a little bit different light that I've never seen them before, you know, because I guess I'm a little slow. But anyway, we're going to start today with Mark chapter 11, verses 22 through 24. And if you don't know them, you should. You're probably not a follower of our ministry if you don't really know these verses. But as you would know, these are the keynote verses that brought my grandfather off a deathbed. But Mark chapter 11, we'll read 22 through 24 and then go and look at it. It says, "So Jesus answered and said to them," I'm reading from the New King James Version, by the way, said to them, "Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." Now, I want to go back to Mark 11, 22, and anyone that really knows me, if I've ever signed your Bible or you want my autograph for whatever reason, I always put Mark 11, 22 there. That is my favorite scripture, although many people think that John 10, 10 is my favorite scripture because I preach on John 10, 10 all the time. All right. But my favorite scripture is Mark 11, 22, because I believe that if we get Mark 11, 22, it will literally change our life. Because Mark 11, 22 says, "Have faith in God." All right, notice it doesn't say to have faith in yourself. It doesn't say to have faith in your pastor. It doesn't say to have faith in your parents. It doesn't say to have faith in anybody except for God. And I think that's really important because we have to have faith in God. And I believe that's where a lot of people are missing out because they're trying to have faith in something else and their faith is not in God. Now, they think their faith is in God, but really, it's because they don't understand the God kind of faith. And the reason we don't understand is because we're an intellectual being and we can only understand what we could see. All right. And we can only understand this. And it actually hit me, and I spoke on this last Tuesday, that a lot of people, you know, they, here's the thing. When we hear the word faith, all right, so We always think about faith in ourselves and our ability, all right? There are certain things that you might be good at, certain things you aren't good at. For instance, I'm not good at singing, all right? I'm good at playing the radio, but not good at singing, all right? So if I want music, I don't go to my own abilities. I put my trust in somebody else, all right? Because my ability... And you know, maybe I might sing to myself some point in time, you know, because the Bible does say to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. I'm not sure how joyful the Lord is by hearing my noise, but anyway, you know, I don't put my trust in my singing ability. But I mean, you know, there's probably some things that I might be good at. So here's the thing. It finally hit me that when we think about faith, we're trying to think about our own abilities and what we can do, and what we can do is very limited. Now, let's talk about goat faith faith versus God faith. You say, what's goat faith? Well, there is a term that we use in today's society called the greatest of all time, or goat. All right? And there's a few, we'll talk about a few goat people in the sporting world right now. Usually, you know, if you're from this generation, if you want to think about the greatest quarterback of all time, especially the greatest quarterback that's playing, it's Tom Brady. All right? And Tom Brady has the rings to prove it. So I decided to find out, how often does Tom Brady win? Anyone know? Tom Brady has a winning percentage of 0.767. That means over 75% of the time, when Tom Brady lines up under center, he wins. He has faith in his own ability to lead his team. Because, you know, that's a pretty big thing, because you realize Tom Brady isn't the only one on the field. Tom Brady has 21 other guys, actually more than that if you count the kicker and the punter and some of the special teams guys. You know, I mean, so that's a pretty remarkable feat, that over 75% of the time, when he walks on the field, he wins. So he has faith in himself that the majority of the time he walks on the field, he's going to win. All right, so let's think about tennis players. Serena Williams, she's just going to say she's going to retire. So I looked up Serena Williams. So when she plays singles, she is a 0.74, so just a little bit under 75%. Here's what's interesting. When she plays doubles with her sister, her and Venus Williams, do you realize their winning percentage is 0.92? 90% of the time, when she plays a double match with her sister, she wins. I have to just get on the court. That's all I have to do, pretty much. And, you know, all right, she wins. Now, mixed doubles, she's at 0.50. She only played a couple of matches with some other guy. I don't know who the guy was. But total, in her career, she's 0.77. So over 75% of the time, she wins when she gets on the court. But you know what's even more interesting? Now, that's the greatest of all time during our time. But the greatest female tennis player of all time is a Rayma graduate. Yes, Rayma, Australia graduate, Margaret Court. Margaret Court played from 1959 to 1975 before she went to Rayma, by the way. All right. But here's, she played some doubles and she won some, but her singles, playing singles, all right, from 1959 to 1975, she won 0.9174% of the time. Almost 92% of the time when she stepped on the court, she won. I mean, that's pretty remarkable. You know, so Rayma grads are pretty remarkable. So, but the point is, when we think about faith, we think about somebody's ability to do it. All right? But here's the thing. You might not have the ability to do it. And so it's hard for you to understand, because you're trying to figure out, how is this going to happen? Because I don't have the ability to use it. Because when you think about faith, you think about natural faith. Now, here's the other thing about all these people we talked about. Do you realize there's one thing that they did? Is they practiced. They trained. Now, you know how we can practice and train? We can read the word. We can pray. You know, so maybe we, you know, and so if you read the word and you pray, you might understand. In fact, my grandfather always would say, what does the word say? If you don't know what the word says, then you have no defense. Do you realize when Jesus was tempted by the devil, his answer was, it is written? Every time the devil said something, his answer wasn't always, well, my father says, or you know, Humpty Dumpty says, or whatever. It was always, it is written. Well, if you don't know what's written, it doesn't do you any good. If you don't know what the word says, you cannot claim the word. But having faith, you know, in God is not having faith in yourself. Now, here's the thing, is that in our life, that whenever we're facing a battle, whatever it might be, in our mind, we're thinking, well, you know, if you face a situation and have overcome it, then it's easier the next time because, like, I've been here before. But what if you face a situation you've never been before? Do you realize the one thing that's hit the church 2 years ago, COVID-19, a pandemic like this had never, you know, maybe other, you know, other times like the, you know, big flu pandemic of 1917 or whatever it is, but you realize that we face something that no one had ever faced. And I will say that Christians didn't come out really good on their God scorecard. Because I don't hear a lot of Christians like, man, my faith is in God. My faith is in God. My faith is in God. They were like, what are we going to do? Oh, no, there's a virus. You know, here's the thing. Jesus, maybe you don't believe your songs. See, I have a habit of believing my songs. A lot of times, if you don't know the Bible verse, you should know the song. And I know, you know, like the Andy song. Anyone know the Andy song? Andy walks with me and he talks with me. Anyway, but that's the Andy song. All right. But the song says, Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him, there's no other. Jesus is the way. So when you have a question, you know, this is a basic math equation. When you have a question and you have an answer, you don't have a problem. You only have a problem without the answer. So, and do you realize Jesus is the answer for any problem? Now, for some of you kids that are still in school, if you have a math problem, you know, whatever, and you put Jesus as your answer, you're probably going to get an F, okay? But ultimately, in life, you have to forget about what you learned in school. In fact, you know, I was very good in algebra. I really was. I mean, algebra 2 in high school, I had a 98 average for the whole year. I just want to tell you, I never used algebra ever in my life. I've never looked at a problem like, man, what is the X? Like 2X plus 3Y, you know, I've never done algebra in life. Maybe you do all the time, but I don't do algebra. I don't know why I have to learn it. You know, really, sometimes if we would just learn addition, subtraction, multiplication, and division, we probably could do pretty much everything we need. At least balance your checkbook or whatever. People say, what's a checkbook? I don't even know what a checkbook is. That's a whole nother story. That was an old-fashioned thing that my mom still has. It's true. Anyway, but Jesus is the answer. So when you face a problem like COVID-19 or whatever, and you're like, man, what am I going to do? Like, Jesus. I mean, your light should turn on. It's Jesus. Because 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ took stripes on his back. And if you've seen The Passion of the Christ or any other movie about Jesus, you've seen a reenactment of that. And it says, by his stripes, we were healed. Now, notice were means you already have been. So you're trying to get what you already have. And the way you get it is through your faith. But it doesn't come because of goat faith. It comes because of God faith. See, the deal is you're not going to get your answer. You already have your answer. Jesus is your answer, and all you have to do is believe. Because, see, what happens is when we face problems and situations, we're like, God, how am I going to do this? Well, that's not faith. That's not faith. Telling God how you're going to do it is not faith. That's not even dictionary faith. Yes, because, you know, I've said it a lot of times, and I'll say it again. I have it right here. Webster's New World Dictionary, 7th edition, I looked it up. Or yourdictionary.com has great, there's other definitions, but number one definition for For faith is complete trust, confidence, or reliance. So, you know, that's pretty cool. Complete trust, confidence, or reliance on God. All right. Definition number two, unquestioning belief that does not require proof or evidence. All right. So what we do a lot of time is we're looking for the answer, and even though we have the answer, that's Jesus, but we're looking to see the results. And we're like, well, where is the results, God? Where's the question? How come I don't have it, God? How comes the question? I mean, we're questioning something. And here's the thing. Many of us wouldn't question. I mean, like, pretty much we kind of know that some of these greatest of all time athletes, when they step on the field, they're going to win most of the time. And we don't even question it. But we question how God's going to provide to us. Because you realize when you're questioning your faith, if you're truly having faith in God, you're questioning God. How do you question God? I mean, why would you question God? You know, but, well, you don't understand. Well, that's, you know, the God kind of faith. And the God kind of faith, a very simple answer, comes back down to Genesis chapter 1. Says the earth was null and void, and God said, let there be light. And after he fasted and prayed for 40 days and 40 nights and gave an offering to himself, that's when the light came on. Of course, that's not what really happened. Now, if you listen to some TV preachers, they'll tell you that's what should happen. If you give to me, you know, God's gonna give you a new tricycle or something. I don't know what it. The deal is, the God kind of faith is say it with your mouth, believe it in your heart, and have what you say. And that was in Genesis chapter 1. When God said, "Let there be light," he expected the light to come on. Why did he expect the light to come on? Because he said so. And God is greater than Simon. What do you mean, Simon? Anyone ever played Simon Says? Because if Simon says, it happens. But, you know, when God says, here's the problem is people say, well, Craig, you're not God. No, I'm not God, but I have the God kind of faith when I speak. Now, if I have the God kind of faith, I don't question the God kind of faith. Nobody ever expected the light not to turn on because this was God. You know, God on the platform, God on the floor, God in the amen corner, God all over the place, that God. Yeah, because sometimes we have to relate. But this is God. When God says, let there be light, the light comes on. When God says, let there be anything, it happens. But what Jesus was telling us in Mark chapter 11, that you need to speak with your faith in God. So when you speak those words, it's as if God is speaking because your faith is in God. And God's faith does not ever question. You say, yeah, but it's been 5 days and I haven't seen the answer. Well, once again, Webster's New World Dictionary or yourdictionary.com says unquestioning belief that does not require proof or evidence. You don't have to see it to know you have it. All you have to do is believe, but you need to believe that your faith is in God. Remember definition number one, complete trust or confidence. That's why your money says what it does. Back of your money. See this $20 bill. There's a White House. See the White House? There's a White House. On top of the White House, it says, in God we trust. Notice it doesn't say, in the White House we trust. Doesn't say in any other government building we trust. It says, in God we trust. Remember, faith is complete trust and confidence. So, You have Mark 11:22 on your money. It says, "In God we trust." In God we trust. Now, actually, I changed it on Tuesday night that you need to make this specific for you. So you should be saying, "In God I trust." In God I trust. Every time. So if we read Mark chapter 11 in line with Mark chapter 11, 23, in line with 22, because see, the whole basis of what Jesus was trying to say is, okay, guys, first of all, you put your faith in God, and then Mark 11, 23 happens. But while Mark 11, 23 and 24 is happening, your faith also still has to be in God. So, and because what happens, and I begin to read it, and it really hit me, it's hitting me, because Mark 11, 23 and 24 has a lot to do with you, but, you know, you're the one saying, but your faith is in God while you're saying it. And I think sometimes what happens is because we're the one talking, that we kind of turn it around to think, well, but I'm not the greatest of all times. I don't win 75% of the time. Although, if you were to win 75% of the time, you would think, well, that's really good. 70% of the time, my faith works. But that's not God faith. I mean, because when I told you about Margaret Court or doubles with Venus and Serena, when it's 90% of the time, I'm like, wow, that's awesome. I'm here to tell you that your God bats 1,000. Every time he comes up to bat, he hits a home run. Now, okay, anyone remember the one with the issue of blood? Okay, guys, I got 20 people in this room that know the issue of blood. Mark chapter 5. You know, actually, if you go back to when my grandfather ministers on healing, he usually would read Mark chapter 5. That happens to be his favorite thing. Dad likes blind Bart. That's his favorite stuff. I can preach better than either one of them when it comes to healing because I actually have all their stuff and I've added things to it. Now, Dad stole some of my stuff now and he's added his stuff to mine, my stuff to his. But anyway, it's all good. But Mark chapter 5, the one with the issue of blood. And you remember what she said? If I just touch but his clothes, I shall be healed. And I've heard people say, man. Well, first of all, let's say I've seen this. I've seen people put certain people in Jesus' spot. Do you know how many times I've heard someone said, well, when Brother Hagin touches me, I'm going to get healed. See, their faith was not in God. It was in Brother Hagin. And that's the thing. A lot of times we start putting our faith in a man or a woman, or our parents or the pastor or whatever it might be. But our faith has to be in God. It's not Brother Hagin. Every time he prayed for the sick, because I was there a lot. It's on video. You can see it on YouTube. He would say, "I can't heal you. Jesus is the healer. One way, not the only way, but one way he heals is through the laying on of hands." And he would say, "I can't heal a fly's eyeball, or a gnat's wing, or a fly's eyeball." What do you mean, healing a fly's eyeball and a gnat's wing is like a miracle? But anyway, I know you're thinking it's no big deal, but if you were the gnat or the fly, you would. All right? But the point is that Brother Hagin or any other minister is not the healer. Jesus is the healer. Our faith has to be in God. In God, I trust. And so many times our faith is not in God. So, but here, the one with the issue of blood, because I've heard people say, man, I wish I lived in Jesus's time. I mean, this woman said, if I just touch his clothes, I shall be healed. And man, if I could just touch Jesus like that lady, that would be awesome. And I'm thinking, are you saved? Are you saved? Because it says the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. Do you realize the dead raising spirit's on the inside of you already touching you? Greater is he in me than he is in the world. Jesus is already touching you. He's already touched you, and you're looking around to find somebody to touch, to find, and you don't realize the greatest of all time that bats 1,000, that never misses, that always hits the home run, that always wins, that's always victorious. Because we sing about these things all the time. We just talk about them right before I preach, about the victory and all these kind of things. See, you can sing the right things, but you don't believe the right things when you say you do, because you read the word, but you still don't get it, because you don't understand how big and how good our God is. You're still trying to touch him when he's already been touching you since the day you got saved. The problem is you don't know what you have. You don't know what's on the inside. You really don't understand, and you can't figure it out. Because your faith is not really in God. Your faith is in, man, if I could just have the ability, if I practiced enough. Man, if I could just be like Tom Brady or Serena Williams or Margaret Court. I mean, if I could win up to 90% of the time, that would be so incredible. No, I'm telling you how you can win every time. And, you know, but you have to believe. Now, let's actually read this in line with what it really says. So, actually, I'm going to go to the actual Bible here instead of my notes, because I like to actually read it when I have highlighted. Because you can highlight the YouVersion of the Bible. I use the YouVersion because it's free. Because I like free. If you want to pay for different translations and stuff, you can, like my mom. But I like the free version because it's free. All right. Okay, Mark chapter 11, verse 22. Remember, it said, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, so Jesus talking to you, and you say, well, no, he was talking to the disciples. Well, no, actually, he says, whoever says to the mountain. He doesn't say you decide, you 12 and no more. He says, whoever says, or whosoever says. So and that's in red letters. Some people accuse Brother Hagin of saying that, but these are red letters. These are Jesus' words, not Brother Hagin's words. Brother Hagin just claimed it for himself and walked off a deathbed, and that's why he understood. If you walked off a deathbed, maybe you would understand too. All right? For surely I say unto you that whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and has faith in God. See, whenever you say to the mountain, first of all, whenever you look, before you say to a mountain, you're going to look at a mountain. Do you realize the first thing you're going to do is you're going to analyze your mountain? Your mountain might be a literal mountain. It might be a physical mountain, like a healing mountain. It might be a financial mountain. But you're going to look at your mountain before you say one word to that mountain. But it's even when you're looking at your mountain, you should be having faith in God. Like, you know what? That mountain is no big deal. Now, if that mountain is no big deal, don't be putting a post on social media about how terrible it is and how hard it is and how tough it is and how you don't can't ever make it, because that's not faith. You say, well, yeah, but that's the facts. But here's the thing, is that your faith is greater than your facts. But if you want to put the facts out there and the facts out there, you won't have faith, because faith is your faith is you know, facts are facts. And I get it. I understand facts, but facts do not have to change my life, because I can let my faith change my life. Now, so it says, I look at the mountain, I'm thinking, my faith is in God. That mountain's no big deal. But when I say to the mountain, it has to move, also I need to say, because my faith is in God. Not because me speaking is doing anything. See, well, you don't have to put stock in you speaking. Because I'm here to tell you, you might be puffed up in pride or whatever, but you are not the greatest of all times. I don't care if you have Tom Brady's winning percentage. You need to understand, when you speak, it's not because of your ability, but when you speak, you are speaking the God kind of faith, the turn the light on faith. And you guys should understand, you ladies here, you've just kindled your flame again. And so you should understand the light turning on thing. All right, but here's the thing, is that when you speak to that mountain, you have to also still speak having faith in God. Because see, God is moving your mountain. You're not moving your mountain. You can't move a mountain. Now, you can with your faith, but you can't move a mountain literally. You know, I get it. You know, if you have some dynamite and some heavy equipment, you might literally eventually move a mountain. But it's going to take a while. And then if you work for one of the government and doing roads, it's going to take you twice as long. And you're going to have four supervisors helping you move that mountain, all getting paid by the government, because that's the way. I'm sorry if you happen to work for them. That's a joke. That's a joke. I just know that here in the city of Tulsa, we have road construction going on forever. So it's just, anyway, for sure I say unto you, whoever says to this mountain, and their faith is in God, be removed and be thou cast into the sea, and their faith is in God, and does not doubt in his heart because their faith is in God, but believe that those things he says, and their faith is in God, will be done because his faith is in God, will have whatever he says because my faith is in God. Now, you're going to have all these things because your faith is in God, but if you don't keep your faith in God, these things are not going to happen. Your faith is not in yourself. Because you're trying to have goat faith. You're trying to think, well, man, I'm great. Because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. No, you're not great. Just because he that's great is on the inside of you doesn't make you great. When you put your faith in him, that makes you great. Because, and here's the thing, whenever it happens, you know, don't be saying, well, look what I've done, because you haven't done nothing. You just experienced what God did in your life. You didn't do anything. Well, I can't say you didn't do anything. You believe God. But who can't believe God? We're talking about God. I mean, you know, the one that doesn't fail. Anyway, let's read 30, verse 24. Therefore, I say unto you, whatever you things you ask when your faith is in God, when you pray and your faith is in God, believe that you receive them and your faith is in God, and you will have them because your faith is in God. In God I trust. Now, does anyone understand what I'm saying here about your faith is in God? When you're, see, it's you saying, but your faith is in God. It's you believing, but your faith is in God. It's you having it, but your faith is in God. It's all about your faith in God. It's about him providing for you because he's already provided for you before you did it. Because I guess it was last Wednesday night or whenever I preached about Jehovah Jireh. And Jireh means the Lord who sees, and he sees before you need. He provides before you have an issue. My God has provided. Now you're like, but I don't see it. Well, you don't have to see it because faith is having something without seeing the evidence. Now, anyone remember the Toyota commercials when everyone's, you know, jumping up and down and shouting, oh, what a feeling or something like that? Here's the thing. You should get that same kind of feeling when you pray. Why? Because you know it's done because your faith is in God. But here's the thing. The reason you don't, because you're a hoping and a praying it's going to happen. And you don't have your faith in God. Because see, God cannot fail. So you realize if you don't receive your answer, it's not because God's not good. It's because you don't believe. It's because sometimes you're thinking, God, when are you going to do it? How come you haven't done it? Question, 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 question. You're not in faith according to the dictionary. If you're asking a question, faith is an unquestioning belief. There is no question when it comes to faith. If you question, you're not in faith, you're in doubt. Doubt is a questioning belief. Like, I doubt it's going to happen. Some of you have friends like that tell you all the time. Some of you don't have little friends. You have Facebook friends like that. It doesn't matter what anybody else says. It doesn't matter what the facts say. It doesn't matter. What matters is, what does God say? And this is the same kind of thing. I mean, we're talking about the God that says, let there be light, God. And then, but not only did he create light, he created the whole place in 6 days. I mean, all of the things, and what's really incredible, and I've got to experience this a little bit because I am a certified scuba diver. I haven't scuba dived in a while. And it's incredible to go under the ocean and to see these incredible formations that nobody ever sees unless you go to SeaWorld. You know, or some other aquarium. There is a Jinx aquarium out there. You can see some of these things. And it's incredible that God made those things for only the fish to see. And all these incredible things that God made, because God's so awesome, but we're like, man, I sure wish God could help me out with a $300 bill. It's tough. I don't know what I'm going to do. Economy's bad. And I still like Starbucks, so I have to go to Starbucks every day. If I didn't go to Starbucks, I probably could pay my bill, but, you know, nothing wrong with Starbucks. Just if you add up how much Starbucks costs every day, you'll find out where you can save money. You say, well, I won't get coffee. You can Folgers. The big can. I get it. You say, well, I have a Keurig, Craig, but Keurigs cost more money. Those little cups cost more money. It's cheaper to get the big can. Or if nothing else, I say, okay, I'll spend a little money. Go to Quick Trip. It's cheaper than Starbucks. Yeah, but the coffee is better at Starbucks. I'm just trying to get you caffeine, not trying to, you know, whatever. I'm just trying to be a help and not a hindrance. All right. But the deal is, in God we trust, have faith in God. Anybody understand that? You know, the other day I was supposed to read this and I didn't, so I'm going to read it to you even though it was 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17, I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. I like to read the Old Testament from the New Living Translation because sometimes it makes things more of a thing. But anyway, there we're having a drought, all right? You know, this is more than a supply chain crisis. This is a drought. People wouldn't have anything, all right? So, 1 Kings chapter 17, verse number 8 says this, then the Lord said to Elijah, Elijah's a prophet for you guys that don't read the Old Testament, just want to let you know. If you want to find out more about him, read the Old Testament. All right, it says, I have to say this because there's so many young people that have never read the Old Testament or whatever. It says, go and live in the village of Zarephath. I know pronounce that wrong. It doesn't matter. Near the city of Sidon. I have instructed a widow there to feed you. So see, God told Elijah, says, hey, you know, it's a drought. I got a widow here that's going to feed you. So go be with her. So he went to Zarephath. And as he arrived at the gates of the village, he saw a widow gathering sticks, and he asked her, would you please bring me a little water in a cup? And as she was going to get it, he called to her, bring me a bite of bread too. Now, okay, first of all, because God said that there's a widow that's going to feed you, and here's the widow that says, hey, bring me some water, and then, hey, can you bring me some food? Sounds like a lot of people's husbands, actually. Anyway, but verse 12 says this. But she said, I swear by the Lord your God that I don't have a single piece of bread in the house. And I have only a handful of flour left in the jar and a little cooking oil in the bottom of the jug. I was just gathering a few sticks to cook this last meal, and then my son and I will die. Now you think your economy's bad? You're just mad because you can't get the name brand you want at Walmart. But there is some other food there. You are finding food. You might gripe because it costs too much, but you have food. This woman was fixing to make a meal and die. Because she didn't have anything. They were in a drought and no one had anything. I mean, this was really bad off. If she had Facebook, she would be, well, actually, if she had Facebook, she'd probably have GoFundMe. And she would, please help, my son and I are dying. Anyway, but that's a whole other subject. But here's this woman, she's going to cook her last meal and die. And the prophet's like, make that for me. Now it's like, do what? Hey, at least let me have my last meal, you know. But so here it was, it says right here. So she says, I'm going to cook my last meal and my son and I will die. I mean, you think about a response. I mean, that's pretty terrible. They're going to eat their last meal, have one last meal of a little bit of bread, and they know they're going to die. I mean, you think you're in a bad place? You're griping about $5 a gallon gas, which is not $5 a gallon down here in Oklahoma, at least. Anyway, verse number 13, but Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. See, that's one thing. Whenever you get in a situation and you're trusting God, we have to not be afraid. Because the devil will try to scare you and tell you, you're going to die, you're not going to make it, there's no way, it's impossible, it's too hard. I mean, you know, you might as well give up, don't even try. You know, I mean, what's God going to do? You know, see, that's what the devil says. So you have to get fear. That's the thing. What's dominated, you know, everybody, not just Christians, in the last few years is fear. I always go back to what our president says. The only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Just quit being afraid. How can you be afraid when the greater one lives on the inside of you? When everywhere you walk, you bring the answer with you whenever you walk into the room. Because Jesus is the answer. The spirit of the living God dwells on the inside of you. It's pretty easy. Anyway, he says, do not be afraid. Go ahead and do what you've said, but make a little bread for me first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Anyway, make a little bread for me first, then use what's left to prepare a meal for yourself and your son. Okay, so we're going to eat a little less, and then we're going to die because we're going to give you some of our bread. I mean, that's probably, and you know, here's the thing. Do you not realize that these people have the same thought life that you had? They have the same devil that's there that's putting the same thoughts in their head. Like, why should I share with you? Just because you're a prophet, I mean, you know, are you really a prophet? Or is that just your name on Facebook? I mean, you know, I mean, those thoughts have to go through your head. Like, you know, but I guess the other side about it, here's the scenario. We're going to die anyway. Might as well share it with you. Anyway, he goes on. Then use what's left to prepare a meal for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. There will always, I like that always. There will always be flour and olive oil left in your containers until the time when the Lord sends rain and the crops grow again. All right? So she did as Elijah said, and she and Elijah and her family continued to eat for many days. There was always enough flour and olive oil left in the containers, just as the Lord had promised through Elijah. Always enough. Always enough. There was always enough. Now, here's the thing. Do you realize that when she looked in her container, it didn't look like enough? It looked like she had enough for today, but what about tomorrow? See, here's the thing. In our own mind, we believe, because we hear about the God of the overflow, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, and all this kind of stuff. So in our own mind, in order to be pressed down, shaken together, and running over, our bucket has to be full and overflowing. No, your bucket has to be full of the Lord. And it will continue to overflow. When it doesn't even look like it's going to overflow, it doesn't matter what it looks like. What matters is where is your faith? Every time she needed oil, every time she needed flour, it was there. Why was it there? Because God said so. That's the same God that says so, the same God that turns the light on, the same God that's there to meet your need because your faith is in that same God, that one and self same God. And it doesn't have to be overflowing to be more than enough. And here's the problem. The problem is you're looking at your bank account, you're looking at all these things, and you're like, man, I only have enough for today. But then you make it to today, and you look at, well, I got enough for tomorrow. And I have enough for the, but it's one day at a time. And you're freaking out, but you know what? Your God is providing for you every day, whether you see a bunch or you don't see a bunch. I mean, I get it. It's really nice to be able to see a bunch. Like, man, I got plenty. Sometimes the problem is when you got plenty, you spend too much because you have plenty. But whenever, you know, it's just spaced out day after day after day after day. And every day she had enough. And every day she had, because she had more than enough, even though it didn't look like it. And see, you need to understand that you have more than enough. You're able to make it even when it doesn't look like it. When it looks like the things are impossible, it looks like there's no way, it looks like it's too hard, but your faith is in God. In God, I trust at all times. And whenever the devil is trying to tell me, you know, me and my son are gonna die, God's gonna say, just believe, only believe. All things are possible to them that believe. It's going to be okay. You're going to make it. Believe your songs. You're victorious in Christ Jesus. It doesn't mean you will be victorious. It says you already are victorious. You already are victorious in Christ Jesus. You already have more than enough, even when it doesn't look like it, even when it doesn't seem like it, even when everything seems to be falling apart. Your God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Or your God has already supplied all your need, even when your jar looks empty. So what I'm telling you today is quit looking to your jar and start looking to your God. Because you serve a God that's more than enough. But see, we expect to see an overflowing jar because that's how we think more than enough is. But more than enough is having it more than enough even when it doesn't look like we have more than enough, because our God is providing all the time. So you don't have to gripe on Facebook like, I don't have enough. If you want to put a Facebook or a tweet or whatever, you would say, my God is supplying all my need. My flower pot never goes empty. My oil jar never goes empty. It doesn't matter what I see. My faith isn't what in what I see. My faith is in what I know. And I know that my God is working on my behalf, supplying all my needs. And all I have to do is trust him. My faith is in God. When I'm speaking, it's in God. When I'm saying, it's in God. When I'm believing, it's in God. Whenever the devil tries to tell me, you know, otherwise, my faith is grounded in the word of God, because I know that my God cannot and my God will not fail. And when I speak to my problem, I know that I might not be the greatest of all times, but I know the greatest of all times is working on the inside of me to provide, you know, my answer, because I ask him and he loves me that much that he's going to provide for me. He has provided for me every single time, and I should never think he won't. Now you realize at some point in time, after a few days, this widow realized that she would always have enough. Now she should have realized that when the prophet said so, but it probably took a few days to actually go in. You know, after about a week, she's probably like, okay, this is going to work. The problem is you're waiting for that week to happen. You don't have to wait for the week. Just believe your God. And if you can't believe your God, who are you going to believe? My faith is in God. In God, I trust. And every time that you face something that you don't know what to do, it's okay not to know what to do, because it's not about you. You might be doing the speaking. You might be doing the saying. You might be doing the believing, but your faith is in God because God is the one doing it. You're not going to do it. You're not going to move a mountain. You're not going to do anything except for say with your mouth, believe in your heart, and have what you say because your faith is in God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you. We magnify you. We thank you, Father, for everything that you're doing in our midst. And Father God, we thank you that each and every person here and each and every person online, that they'll remember this when they're facing their obstacles in life. The next time they fill up with fuel, gasoline, and they look at it like never, it's higher than it's ever been. Help us to understand that our faith is in God, and God we trust. Whenever we're facing any kind of obstacle, whether it be we get a bad report from a doctor, whatever it might be, Father, help us to understand our faith is always in you. That you are providing our answer, even when we don't see it, even when it looks like we don't have enough. We thank you that you're providing more than enough each and every time, each and every day. And Father God, we just thank you that you'll bring this sermon back to their remembrance when they're facing an issue, when they're facing a problem, when they're facing a giant, when they're facing a mountain in their life, Father. Father God, we just thank you for everything that you're doing and everything you have done. And we thank you that you're continuing to bless us each and every day. And when it looks like that our jar is almost empty, you're providing more than enough at all times because our faith and our trust is in you. You are providing our answer. Hallelujah. With heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe you're here today and you say, Craig, I don't know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I don't have the greater one on the inside of me. I don't have the healer that's touching me at all times, but I want to today. If you're here today and you've never been saved, lift your hand right now. We want to pray with you across this auditorium. You say, Craig, I've never been saved. Or maybe here today and you say, Craig, man, one time I walked with the Lord, but I've turned my back and I went away. I want to come back home again. If that's you, if you've never been saved or you want to come back home and rededicate your life to God, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. We don't want anyone to miss out. Amen. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for each and every person that's here and each and every person that's watching online. We thank you if anyone is here that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, that laborers will come across their path on a daily basis. And we thank you that they will accept him. They will be saved. We thank you for everything that you're doing. Hallelujah. You have something you want to sing?
And Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way.